part one of US of Ed's special on guns and gun violence, Ed and I looked at some of the psychology behind mass shootings and why they seem to be on the increase. We also talked about those Americans who see guns as a central part of their identity and the politicizing of the gun control debate. In part two, we continue on that same path, talking gun control solutions, coverage of mass shooters, and why other related issues, such as suicide by firearm, aren't talked about as much. To keep up to date or find out more, subscribe to US of Ed on iTunes and Wooshka, or follow us on Facebook and Twitter. It's been said if the gun laws couldn't change under Barack Obama after Sandy Hook, when 26 seven-year-old kids were killed by one of these maniacs. If the gun laws couldn't be changed after that incident, under that president, they're never going to be able to be changed in any significant way. What do you make of that?
I don't think that's true. I think now some 70-some percent of Americans want national gun laws that were very much like the Brady Bill. And during that entire Brady Bill, after Reagan was shot, up until Sandy Hook, I believe there were no mass shootings in the United States. So that bill had a lot of effect. Now, what did it do? If you came in to buy an automatic weapon, be it a handgun or whatever, you had to provide sufficient proof of knowing how to use a gun, da-da-da-da. Gun sales outside of stores was eliminated. So in a store, you can check on somebody. But those gun shows, anybody could put up a gun show. You had to store your rifle, your gun, and so forth appropriately, or you could go to jail. We are not worried about people who can carry guns. We're worried about people who can't. And this is the problem. Several of the vicious murders that have happened have been people who've just gone off their rocker in a theater. And they're carrying around a gun without permission. So what do we have here? You have to have permission to have the darn thing. And there's a good chance your family members will turn you in if they know you have one without permission. In the United States, turning a family member in who has a gun doesn't mean anything because the police can't do anything. So what would I do? I'd put the Brady Bill back in. It was constitutional when it went in. It'd be constitutional again. It allowed the states to have stricter laws, but not less strict laws, like the drinking laws. The drinking law in the United States is 21 in every state except, I believe, Georgia. And because Georgia has a drinking law that's below 21, they can't receive federal funds for highways because it's tied to the Highway Act. And I think the same thing should be true with the guns. You cannot receive federal funds from HUD, any city in the United States, unless you have a gun control law.
Now, you mentioned a moment ago black kids, Chicago, Detroit, shooting each other. It's not like all of these gun incidents are mass shootings. We see domestic incidents going off. Husband decides to shoot their wife, shoot their family, or such as have you.
It just happened last week here.
Yeah, it did indeed. We're certainly not immune, unfortunately. Do you think mass shootings draw too much of the conversation when we talk about gun violence? These are big emotional events. When we talk about gun violence as a whole, does too much of the energy get diverted into purely talking about mass shootings?
Yes. But I think the mass shooting does provide the moment for that conversation, where an ordinary, husband and wife incident doesn't provide that. I'm not sure what is going to happen to change this. I mean, remember, a president of the United States was killed in our lifetime. Gun violence. Now, if that won't change things, what will? So let's go back to what I said earlier. Since 70-some percent people want basically what the Brady Bill was, stop campaigning against gun violence and start allowing the states to put in gun rules and regulations, and stop guns from going in interstate commerce. You can't even move alcohol interstate in the United States. So if you can't move alcohol, that means you wouldn't be able to have these road shows. You'd have to have licensed gun stores and so on. And I think that would cut into it. People say, well, we're worried about criminals. They'll get guns anyway. How many criminals have been mass shooters? Zero.
To date, at the time of recording, we're recording this about September 2018, this year has seen 268 mass shootings. 10,810 people have died by the gun, according to gunviolencearchive.org. Do these numbers still have the capacity to shock?
That's bigger than my hometown.
Mm.
My whole hometown wasn't that size when I was born. Now it has 100,000 people now. But if we killed off 10,000, I might have been one of them. My word, that's why I think most of the Americans are sick of this and want it changed. And the only way it'll be changed is to probably take another incident, but have a president that people trust and give the states a lot of control here. Because the Brady Bill only had light controls, but allowed states to put in heavier ones. And that's what's true with liquor laws and other things. There are some states, like Utah, that didn't allow the sale of liquor until very recently. When they abolished prohibition, they abolished it by saying states may enact liquor laws. Well, let states enact gun laws. And I think I'll move to the state that has the strictest one.
One I don't see a lot talked about is suicide by gun. Far and away the most popular method used by Americans. There is some real tragedy to me that in some ways it does seem like it makes the decision easier for some. When a lot of people jump off a bridge, people put up a fence on that bridge. They put a net underneath that bridge to catch them. Far more people killing themselves with guns, and yet this doesn't actually seem to enter the conversation that much.
It's a very good, and this death by gun happens in the best of families, in a sense, that people who seem otherwise okay, and it's happened among relationships I've had, people, and I hear so-and-so's committed suicide, and they seem to be an ordinary guy. Had a good job, et cetera, but you don't know what demons are eating them. If you don't have a gun around, maybe they ask somebody to help them with those demons, or someone close to them sees the demon, but the gun allows them to end their pain quickly. So again, if we had a bill like we're talking about, you just couldn't walk into the pawn shop and pick up a gun. You just have to make it hard to get a gun. I don't know what the suicide rates are by guns here, but I do know two people that I know well have had guns kill members of their family by suicide, and that's in the 30 years I've lived here.
You mentioned this kind of a minute ago. We touched on this one a little bit earlier, but a lot of people point the finger at the NRA, going from an organization that did try to advocate for safer gun handling, safer gun laws, to an advocate for firearms manufacturers, essentially. How big are lobbyists in terms of a problem for this issue?
Well, that's an interesting issue. They were able to get federal legislation that basically threw out the Brady Bill. So then when this cabal came in, they found the National Rifle Association as the vehicle for doing all the things they want done. And they expanded themselves into other things. For example, many of the people in the Right to Life movement have clung to this, and some of the Christian groups have clung to this, particularly after Waco, when those people were defending themselves, they think, from the FBI, and they died. So it seems to me that what we have is kind of this radical fringe movement that is saying the United States may take us over, and so we have to have our guns and our weapons and the like to save ourselves. Again, a very threatening notion, but it is alive and well in the United States.
It's always fascinating when it sort of combines with other pet issues of the right. You've got to respect the flag. You can't kneel. You've got to respect the flag of the country I'm actively concerned is plotting against me, so therefore I've got to hoard guns in order to defend myself against them.
Wow. How do you get there? We just don't know, you and I. But you cannot talk to people like this. I briefly tried to engage them, but I know I can't get very far with them because they flipped a switch someplace. Now they think I flipped a switch someplace. So how's that engagement happen? Because even when members of their own families die from violence, they don't seem to get it. When I was a kid, I'd say 50% of the movies I went to were about cowboys and Indians and gunfighters and criminals and so on, where the good guys carried guns and the bad guys carried guns. And the good guys always won, but it was a hell of a carnage.
Mm. It does lead me rather neatly into my final point. This issue has become so divisive. It really does seem like advocates for one side or the other are living in different realities. Right now, it seems like Democrats and Republicans are living in completely different realities if you try and have a conversation with one or the other. But certainly I've seen, you know, people I'm associated with who are a bit more to the right and certainly very heavily pro-gun, the kind of things they say, they really do consider the Second Amendment essential to human life. It was what you were saying before, that people consider the guns essential to being human. And that really does seem to be the reality I see amongst some of these people, that realistically, it's like telling them you can't practice your religion. You know,
exactly. It is religious. It is religious. The church is suffering now because they used to have the same status, that what we say is right. Child abuse has changed all that. But it hasn't changed it in the evangelical churches, where they've had more than a small spate of child abuse, and they continue to believe in their leaders. And some of their leaders have gone to jail for various kinds of sexual practices, unauthorized sexual practices, but they continue to look for this. So there's some instinct in American culture in particular where you are looking for living on the edge, and the gun is a perfect place to live that, and you create a cult around that, and you got it made. The drug cartels are very much the same. People live inside that cult, that crazy cult. From what I've heard and when I visit the prisons, every prison had a culture. And if you tried to step outside the culture, you ended up dead. It didn't matter whether you were a guard or an inmate. So this sickly, unhealthy culture is part and parcel of the United States. The way to break it up is to give people on a kind of regional basis choices. And then the people who don't want it move there, and the people who want their base move there. I don't think we're going to have a universal response.
Ed and I will be back next week with one of our regular chats before midterms and to talk all the latest U.S. news and politics. Find us on iTunes and Wooshka at US of Ed, or give us a follow on Facebook and Twitter.